Radavias and Lee Thompson were matched on a dating website, neither would have guessed their first date would also be a business meeting that would dramatically change their lives. Lee and Rada are the co-founders of Flashpack, a travel company for adventurous solo travelers in their 30s and 40s, looking to meet like-minded people while seeing the world with a bit of style and comfort. With just £8,000 of their own money invested in 2013, the husband and wife duo have turned Flashpack into a £10 million business. A lifelong traveler, Rada was running her own successful fundraising consultancy when the idea came to her. With much of the group travel market catering to young budget backpackers, Rada, in her 30s, saw the new business opportunity she'd been looking for. But it's when she met Lee, a veteran photojournalist with a definite sense of adventure, that the idea really took off. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bage. Today, Rada and Lee are here to introduce us to Flashpack.
Flashpack connect solo travelers in their 30s and 40s to share extraordinary adventures in style and comfort. So it's really targeting time-poor, cash-rich professionals who don't have anyone to travel with.
And Rada, tell me about this idea of flashpacking. What's your idea of that, and how does it sort of represent what the brand is today?
It really started because back in my 20s, I was an avid backpacker, and I found as I was coming into my 30s and approaching my 40s, you know, I didn't want to stay in hostels anymore, but I did want to have that same travel experience. I had the same spirit and ethos as a backpacker. I wanted adventure, I wanted a dynamic itinerary, but I wanted a boutique hotel at the end of the day. And I think there's a lot of people that fit into that category. And it's a new term that's being bandied about, flashpacking. I think we didn't coin the term, but we definitely built the business on the back of that travel ethos.
Lee, I want to just ask you about your professional background, because I know you were a photojournalist for a long time. So becoming an entrepreneur and launching your own brand, how did that come about? What were sort of the steps that led to that?
Yeah, so I traveled to over 100 different countries as a photojournalist, covering anything from war zones to natural disasters and major sporting events. I had a really extraordinary career, did things like I was like one of the first people to find Colonel Gaddafi's body just after he was killed in Libya, to covering the Arab Springs in Tunisia and Egypt. And I really had a privileged career where I got to see a different side of country than the average person gets to see. And I guess that fueled my passion for adventure and off the beaten path travel experiences. This idea, I guess, you know, I've been looking for something different other than photojournalism for a few years, and then I met Rada on our first date, and basically we obviously got on great, the wine was flowing, conversation was flowing, and she tells me about this business idea she has, and immediately I just resonated with it and I thought, this is what we're going to do. It just sounded so good. I was single in my 30s, and as soon as she mentioned this concept of group adventure for people in their 30s and 40s, that was it, and we haven't looked back since.
Rada, I'd like to just chart a little bit of your background as well, and sort of leading up to the launch of this company. Obviously, meeting Lee was a big part of that getting off the ground. But what were you doing before that?
Yeah, I ran a consultancy firm raising money from high net worth individuals for the third sector, so really nothing to do with travel. But I'd been an avid traveller since I was 3, due to my parents being really into adventure travel. They were quite avant-garde in their approach and even sent my sister and I to Africa, aged 7 and 9, on our own for 2 months to visit family we'd never met. And I think that really kind of cemented my passion for travel. And I'd been travelling ever since. So I lived in south of France before I went to university. I studied in Madrid, did my dissertation out there in Spanish, and then lived and worked in Chile before coming to London to start my career. And when I found this gap in the market, it just felt like the perfect fit. I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life.
Can you explain a little bit about that? What sort of gap you saw in the market, and where the idea for this company, where you thought that could fill that void?
Yeah, absolutely. So it came out of a genuine need. I was at a point in my life, I was in my 30s, I'd been working really hard all year and just needed a holiday, and started searching around and asking friends who wanted to come along with me. And nobody was available. Everybody was busy with their own respective lives, their careers, having children, getting married. And I suppose I was at a point in my life where I felt slightly isolated and lonely, like setting up another business, and I craved really good company. A good friend of mine suggested I go on a group tour, and it wasn't a concept I'd ever heard before. I didn't think something like that was available for someone my age. And I remember feeling a little bit offended that she even suggested it. I thought of myself as an intrepid traveller. I'd solo travelled all my life. But I was very much intrigued by this idea of group travel and travelling with strangers. And when I started researching the market, I realised that it was really catering to budget backpackers, young people who wanted to party all the time, or the more luxurious tours, the kind of flashpacking tours, were catering to a senior market with really slow itineraries. And I was something in between. I wanted a dynamic adventure, but with a boutique hotel. And it just really intrigued me. And I thought there must be lots of people out there my age who find that their social circles are shrinking as they get a little bit older. People are busy with their own lives. And I started researching the market and realized there was a huge opportunity. The singles market is growing globally. I think by 2030, there'll be more single households than married households. People are choosing to settle down much later, or not settling down at all. It's a legitimate lifestyle choice. And in tandem, the adventure travel market was growing 65% year on year. Globally, the industry is worth $265 billion globally. And it just got me really excited. And I thought I could do something special in this space.
So we heard Lee say there that when he heard this sort of idea, he was sold right away and thought that that's what he wanted to do. But before I come back to you, Lee, Radha, what was your sort of idea of getting this off the ground? And when you pitched it to him, did you know that he might be involved going forward?
I didn't mean to pitch it that night. It was our first date, so I meant to keep my cards a bit closer to my chest. But I guess after a couple of glasses of wine, I got excited and told him about this idea I had. I'd actually only thought of the idea and discovered the gap a few weeks before meeting Lee. And I was working out in my head whether I needed a co-founder or whether this is something I could do on my own. And when I met Lee, and he was, I guess we were matched because of our avid, you know, interest in travel and business, and he just got it straight away. He was also single in his 30s and struggled to find people to go on holiday with, and saw a trend in solo travel, saw a gap in the market, saw an opportunity, and we just decided to go for it, really.
So Lee, I want to talk a little bit about getting this off the ground, not only in how long that took, but sort of when you start setting up trips, start talking about locations, what did that look like? What were you sort of targeting?
Yeah, so the first 7 months into meeting Radha and dating for the first time, we just went to adventure travel shows, we researched the industry, we held some focus groups, got some people down to a pub and talked to them about the concept. And to be honest, we tried really hard, but setting up a travel business with no reviews and an average spend of £2,000 is extremely difficult. So it was quite tough to get started. But in 2014, with very little marketing spend or marketing money, we needed a big idea to launch Flashpack. So one day I was researching potential ideas to go viral, and I noticed a picture of some workmen at the top of Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio, and immediately knew that if I could persuade the Archdiocese of Rio to let me to the top of that statue, I could get a picture, a selfie at the top that would go viral and really put us on the map. So I flew to Brazil, at doorsteps, the head of the Archdiocese, walked down the street with him and said, "Hey, look, I'm from England. I'd love to go to the top of Christ the Redeemer statue. I can show everyone how beautiful Rio looks from the top." And he said, "You're a crazy man. No one's ever asked me this question, but come back tomorrow and I'll give you the key and we can go up and do it." So I did. We then built a strategy around the selfie that I took at the top of Christ the Redeemer's head. And that was to get people going back to Flashpack when they see the image to look at how we did it and get traffic on our website. And overnight, well, I mean, we launched the picture a couple of weeks before the World Cup in Brazil in 2014. And we had 1.4 million hits to flashpack.com in 2 days. It hit every single country in the world and got 100 million impressions worldwide and officially launched us without spending a penny.
So I imagine you used a lot of your persuasive skills learned as a photojournalist to get that photo. But tell me about the marketing idea. Where does that idea come from you? Obviously, you're great at presenting photos and getting powerful images out there. But where did you sort of come up with this idea?
I've spent most of my career looking to get photographs to go viral. I guess I had it in my blood, but I just see opportunities and kind of viral guerrilla marketing ideas. And I guess at this time with the selfie, it came a little bit of desperation. As I said, we didn't have any marketing spend. So I just see opportunities, and it's important that you jump on them when you know something can work.
What sort of budget were you working with at the beginning? What was sort of your plan for backers? Did you bring anyone in, or what was your real plan for getting it off the ground? Obviously, a viral campaign really helped, but what was the idea before that?
We had £15,000 between us to throw at the business and get an MVP started, which quickly ran out. We launched a website, wrapped some money around some PPC ads, which didn't do much in the beginning, and we were quickly running out of money. So I think at that point when Lee came up with the selfie idea, it was out of pure desperation. We had the dreaded talk, should we give up? You know, 6 months in, not much was happening. Nobody really cared about our business. We had a couple of customers and that's about it. And it was at a point where we thought, okay, we're running out of cash desperately. We haven't got much traction, so we can't actually raise money. What are we going to do? And it was just out of that sheer need that Lee came up with this wonderful idea, and we just risked our last £800 on that idea, really, which definitely played off, thank goodness. Since then, it gave us that monthly traction, and we bootstrapped for another 2 years almost until raising a seed round, and our lead investor has a successful exit in the travel industry, which is fantastic. I think by the time we did raise, we didn't really need the cash. We bootstrapped for a bit too long. We probably should have raised sooner. We had traction from the moment the selfie went viral. We had monthly traction and we could have raised a bit sooner. But we've been fortunate that the travel industry is inherently cash rich. It's a cash flow positive business. So we haven't had to raise again. So we've been able to fund our own growth. We've been growing 300-400% a year on year since 2014. And we've funded that all ourselves after that initial seed round. We are looking at VC investment currently. It's quite nice. VCs are asking for meetings with us at the moment. We're exploring new opportunities to move into new markets. And we'll only raise VC funding if it's going to accelerate our growth.
Lee, I want to just ask about what sort of adventures you were selling at the beginning. I mean, you've got a bit of traction, you've got some interest in the company, but what were the initial offerings?
We started by being very off the beaten path. I was using a lot of the countries that I knew very well. So I traveled extensively throughout Africa, and we actually launched with Sierra Leone, pre-Ebola. Sierra Leone's got fantastic beaches. It's gradually getting some more infrastructure there in the roads and things like that, but it wasn't the right trip to launch with. And it was very, very difficult to get people booking on that tour. We quickly realized that trips like Vietnam, Cambodia, Sri Lanka, the classics, but done in a very flashback, off the beaten path and more stylish way, was the way forward.
What did you offer next? What was sort of the plan to get more people to want to spend on a big trip?
The thing about group travel is that there's an obstacle to joining one, which is you don't know if it's cool to go on a group tour. It's a kind of, we have to shake off that stereotype of what a group tour might be. So we started with really cool weekend trips. One in particular was driving Vespas around the Spanish countryside through medieval castles and loads of tapas and wine along the way. And that trip was cool enough as a weekend product to get people into the funnel and then booking on more expensive trips. So we had a whole series of weekenders like that.
Radha, I'm curious, you said you were looking for the right type of trip to go on. Were some of these the adventures sort of you had in mind and you then started creating them for people?
Yeah, so I couldn't, when I was looking at the market, I couldn't find any adventures that really appealed to me. I really wanted some dynamic adventure, but I wasn't into, you know, 2 weeks of cycling or 2 weeks of hiking. I wanted to do a bit of everything. I wanted to do some kayaking, some hiking, some scuba diving. So we've really curated all our products around travelers like us, really. We try to incorporate some of the traveling Lee and I have done. I've lived in lots of countries, getting under the skin of the country, understanding the psyche of that nation. Lee has traveled to over 100 countries and seen these destinations in turmoil. And we try to incorporate some of our own experiences into every product we curate. Unfortunately, we don't curate all our own products anymore. We have a big product team to do that now. But every product is about connecting people. We never actually call ourselves a travel company, ironically. It's all about what adventure can do to connect people. And so every trip we curate is about creating memories, creating adventure. I suppose using adventure a bit like a social lubricant, like we use alcohol, replacing alcohol with adventure. So I'll give you an example. I went on a South Africa trip with our customers last year. We abseiled down Table Mountain in Cape Town, and it's the highest commercial abseil in the world, which I didn't know before I signed up for that trip. It's absolutely terrifying, but you go through a journey together. On the second day, there's a lot of camaraderie, you know, coaching each other through the experience. And then at the end, you're fast friends, you've created memories and bonds, and the rest of the trip goes very smoothly. So that's how we use adventure, and that's how we curate our trips.
I want to hear more sort of about the offerings today and how those get set up. Lee, obviously you've worked with a lot of fixers and people on the ground that you needed to do your job as a photojournalist in the past. But when you're talking about trust, and again with trying to get people to spend a little bit of money to go on an adventure trip, what's sort of the on-the-ground network that you have to build these trips, to get them actually off the ground?
Yeah, we use the very best suppliers we can find. It's really important to us that we use local guides, really knowledgeable local guides, the best local hotels, because we really believe in putting our money in the right areas. What we do is extensive research before launching any trip, a bit like we'd use a fixer traveling as a journalist, to really kind of find those key experiences that nobody else is doing. So for example, our Peru trip, we do Machu Picchu and all the classics, but we also climb Rainbow Mountain up at 5,000 meters, which up until a couple of years ago, nobody had ever heard about, and now everyone's jumping on it. So it's time to find a new experience in Peru.
And people really want a real authentic experience, but they're also worried about, you know, things like impact and sustainability and all these things in our market today. How do you sort of tackle that and make sure it's a trip that people really want to spend on?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's actually a personal desire of mine to combine my business interests with philanthropic interests. I worked in the third sector before starting this business, and we're actually launching our Flashpack Foundation this year, and we have lots of different aims. One of the aims is to reduce plastic bottle waste on our trips, to get money into local communities. Like Lee said, we are really passionate about ensuring tourism is part of the solution. I always say to friends, if you want to help Africa, go on holiday there, you know, and spend money there, spend money in the local restaurants and with taxis. Tourism creates employment. So we're really passionate about that. And we only use local people to run our trips. But we also have a bigger mission as well. We want to be 100% carbon neutral within 5 years and make it completely hassle-free for all flashpackers to go on a guilt-free carbon neutral trip with us. And we also have some other desires to donate money to local grassroots projects to uplift women and children in the communities in which we work, and we really believe travel can be part of that solution.
That's fascinating. I've read a fair bit about the value of the company this year and quite a quick growth. How did that come about? How have you sort of grown more recently as opposed to getting things started?
We've actually been growing at quite a fast rate since we started. Well, since the selfie anyway, and the first 6 months were quite painful. But we have been growing around, 300 to 400% a year. Things obviously get interesting when you've hit your first million and beyond. So, and I think the reason we're growing so quickly is because we are solving a genuine need for people. If you find your social circles shrinking, actually not having someone to spend your annual leave with can be quite intimidating. If you've never solo traveled before, there aren't many options out there. And we're finding it is a global niche. We actually, 40% of our customers are only from the UK. 40% are from the USA, Canada, Australia. Scandinavia is an interesting market for us as well. So it's a global phenomenon that people are settling down a lot later and want to travel with other like-minded people. And that's what we obsess over. We obsess over the group dynamics, connecting people at the same life stage. And whether you are, you know, a single mum or a new mum or a new entrepreneur, you want to meet people who are going through the same thing as you in life. And I think actually addressing that genuine need for people has accelerated our growth. And that's why we don't call ourselves a travel company. We what we really believe in, what we're really passionate about, what drives us is this connecting people at a time when all our lives are being played out behind screens. We're all yearning for more connection. I don't think there's anyone who says, no, I'm fine, I have enough friends, thank you very much. Everyone's yearning to meet new people and have that connection with somebody else. So that's what really drives us.
It's about, I think, 6 years since you both met. Now, where the company's at, does it look as it was sort of pitched to you, Lee? Or is it changing all the time?
It was a great idea when I first heard it. I didn't realize it was going to be this massive. I mean, you know, yeah, we met 6 years ago. The business is, I mean, four and a half years old. It's exceeding our expectations. As I said, we're solving a genuine problem for people. 68% of our customers have never been on a group tour before, which means we're opening up the market to a new group of people. And the growth has been explosive. So, right, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where there was just me and Radha in a one-bedroom flat in Brixton with a couple of glasses of wine, laptops and some Lonely Planet books. Now we're a team of 30. We're going to be 55 by March and looking at opening internationally and internationally as well. So it's exceeded our expectations.
Radha, what's on your diary just now, even for both of you? What's sort of the day-to-day? What are the focuses for you in growing the brand?
Yeah, I think I struggle slightly with getting out of the weeds of the day-to-day. My focus at the moment is building out our tech infrastructure of the business and building the foundation. They're my two big focuses. I think I do need to learn how to get away from the day-to-day and just give myself time to reflect and look at new opportunities. It's always a bit of a struggle in a fast-growth business. We're at a point in our business at the moment where it's slightly painful that we don't have enough managers, so we're recruiting quite quickly new directors and head of departments. But yeah, my focus is really making sure we get the right people in the right roles, looking for new opportunities, scaling the business and making sure the business doesn't break as we scale.
You hear that a lot from entrepreneurs, sort of as companies grow, they have a hard time sort of taking their hands off things and dealing with all the small details. Has that been difficult for you in running a business and sort of having to perhaps delegate tasks or focus on other things other than the small details?
No, actually, no, not at all. Like, I love delegating. And we hire people who we really trust and believe in and who can bring a lot to the business. So I've had no problem delegating. I think the problem in our business is sometimes there's no one to delegate to. So we're looking for example, a head of sales, a head of customer happiness, a head of product. We're looking for so many people in our business. Until we find those people, we've got to do all the roles we haven't yet hired for. So I think that's the tricky thing. But once we bring people on, we've trusted all of them and very happy to let go of the reins so I can focus on what I really enjoy, which is looking for new trends, new opportunities, new ways to scale the business.
Lee, you sound like a bit of a self-starter. Obviously, as a photojournalist, there's a lot you need to do to get the job done and you know, a lot of loopholes. But how's it been being an entrepreneur and being a business owner? Has that sort of, is there something in your past you think lends itself to running a business?
It's a really good question, actually. I do. I think as a photojournalist, you're looking to make something out of nothing sometimes, or create a story or something that will be shared and interesting to other people. And I can really relate to the skills I learned as a photojournalist. They come in very, very useful. And right now I've basically created my absolute dream job. The marketing team has just gone from me to a team of 8 within the last 4 months. And now we're brainstorming viral ideas, like how can we create the next selfie at the top of Christ the Redeemer? I don't want to go down the easy route of just spending more on advertising. I want to be creative and really create a class marketing team.
People today sort of a lot of young people want to work for an interesting brand, a cool startup company. And we talk a lot on this show about creating lives, creating company culture as well. What's it like to work for you?
Yeah, I suppose everyone thinks their business is so unique, but I guess we are a typical startup. Like, we have a lovely office with parquet flooring. We have an office dog and a ping pong table, and it's a very buzzy environment. It's fast paced. There's lots of opportunities to excel your career if you have the right mindset. But we've always, from the very beginning, before we had a nice office, we were in, you know, our back bedroom, and interns used to come to our house, and then we graduated to a co-working space and then a smaller office. We've always tried to embed the ethos of travel and flashpacking into the business. So we give £700 bonus to every single person every year to spend on flights and travel to allow them to experience the world. And we have weekly lunches together, which are travel themed. And every month we take the whole team out to experience mini adventures around London together. So we really embed that travel ethos in the company. It's a really fun industry to work in. It's a huge industry to work in. So I think although it's very challenging to work for a startup, and it's very fast paced and can be overwhelming for some people. Some people thrive in that environment, some people don't. But I think we try to keep quite a relaxed atmosphere and fail fast culture. So, you know, try things, don't be afraid to try. You won't be criticized. You'll be awarded for trying something. If it doesn't work, just move on quickly.
What are customers sort of demanding these days? Do you pay attention to what else is happening in the travel industry as well, or do you sort of just try to grow and be your own brand based on what your clients are looking for?
We respect all our competitors and look, you know, we really admire the travel industry, but we really focus on what we're doing. We don't tend to kind of pay much attention to other companies when doing what we do well. So, you know, our customers want to make sure that it's our trips are very good value for money. They earn a lot of money, but some of them, but we just have to keep nailing the detail and making sure that the trips are as good as all the other travel experiences they've had, because they're extremely well traveled.
What about repeat clients? Do you have a lot of people coming back for trips year on year? Or
we do, yeah. So we have a lot of people booking 5 or 6 trips a year, something I never thought would happen at the beginning of setting up Flashpack. And then there's actually quite a number of people that have taken what we call a growing up gap year, where they've taken 8 or 9, or sometimes in 2 cases, people that have taken 12 trips, one a month for an entire year. So yeah, repeat bookers or Flashpackers, we're really creating this big movement. It's not a travel company, it's a movement of Flashpackers, and we can do a lot more around building the community.
And what about in the rest of the travel market? I mean, obviously, companies like Airbnb and home sharing, and that's been a big thing, and as well as budget airlines. But sort of what sort of trends in the industry do you pay attention to, or how have they sort of forced your hand in what you do at all?
We don't always look at the travel industry for inspiration. We quite often look outside the industry. Like the dating industry, for example, has given us a lot of inspiration for this business, because we really obsess over the connection of people and allowing people to travel with other like-minded people at the same life stage. So we often look at Tinders, we'll look at the Bumbles, we'll look at Match.com for inspiration on how we can use technology to really build on this movement that we're creating. Within the travel industry, there's so much going on. There are really good tech startups now starting to emerge, but I do feel it's a semi-regulated industry here in the UK, which does stifle innovation somewhat. So we often, yeah, we're always looking for inspiration outside of our immediate industry.
Would you say you're a lifestyle brand then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we're definitely a lifestyle brand. We believe we have the vision to take this brand further than travel. Maybe we'll connect people in different ways in the future, connect people in different markets. So yeah, we absolutely have this vision to be a lifestyle brand. And that's why we're called Flashpack and not Flashpack Travel, I suppose, because it really lends itself to different verticals, which we're looking at different opportunities currently.
And in so much as you can share, what are sort of the next steps for moving the brand forward?
Well, lots of exciting things going on. So we're really focused on global expansion this year. That's our main focus, getting further traction in America, building the foundation. And we are looking at maybe acquiring complementary businesses. But I think I may not say more than that at this stage.
Fair enough. And Lee, is there any other sort of corners of the market or things that you'd like to see incorporated in what you do?
There is so much opportunity within this space. I get very, very excited by lots of different ideas all the time. I keep spotting different gaps in the market as well. But right now, just really focused on connecting these like-minded people at the same life stage and really building this tribe of Flashpackers.
That's all the time we have for on today's show. Thank you to Radha Vyas and Lee Thompson for sharing the story of Flashpack. Thanks to the team here at Monocle 24 for editing and mixing this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.